Hi, this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. That was me saying hello to someone on the street. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it. All while under the influence. I'll have to put in the clip talking about. Oh, that was a good one!
Good job, Ollie.
That was a good awoo! Just kidding, he never makes noises.
Oh. Really got me.
Except
there.
For when he's home alone. Cute.
What's with all the kisses, Ollie?
I know. Ollie, why are you so kissy? He's like, my mother doesn't love me. What do I do? How you doing, Maggie?
Great. Absolutely stellar this week. We just had such a great little catch-up sesh.
I know.
With a lot of things that just couldn't make it to air.
Sorry, guys. We gotta keep some things private. Yeah.
Ollie, enough.
Ollie, no kisses. No kisses.
There's a lot of... He's just like...
He's like, I got a lot of love to give. It's true.
And like, I've gotten enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, a story I can share about Ollie, since he's here. Don't you snort at me. I'm telling this story about you. I had sushi the other night. And I had 2 pieces of California roll left. And I had... Ollie, stop! I had left it on my coffee table, and I think I, like, went to, like, dry my hair or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Ollie's, like, usually pretty good about leaving my food alone. But I came back, and I only had 1 California roll. I'm 99% sure I didn't eat it. And then I found the little piece of cucumber that lives inside a California roll on the ground. So clearly he ate it and was like, fuck this cucumber, but I love crab and rice.
Yeah.
And just silently ate part of my sushi.
Really silly that he left the cucumber. Like,
yeah,
you
right?
almost could have gotten away with it, Ollie.
Right? I would have. I probably would have been like, oh, I guess I ate that. But no.
Dogs are just such bad thieves.
It got so much more worse than I thought it was going to be. Sorry. Anyway, what else?
Keep going.
I just feel like I'm pure chaos and I don't know why. Like, I was fine before we started, and then I hit record and my body's like...
Everything's expelling.
You don't know how to do this. No, I had another story I was going to tell you. Well, I have another one.
You do have another story about things you were eating. Remember? A couple weeks ago, you ate something you didn't think you were eating.
Oh! Sorry.
Was that reaction based on, like, everything else?
No, that was me remembering how funny it was, and it still to this day is funny. But so what Maggie's referring to is that I was at a friend's birthday shindig, and I was a good number of drinks in. I was catching up with our good friend Dan, who was on the podcast.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Dan Hubble, and... Can we say his last name?
We're not celebrities. It's fine, okay. I think.
Friend of mine, Dan. And Dan and I are just chatting, catching up. We hadn't seen each other for a while. And I was pretty hungry. And I also knew that I was going to need to leave soon. So I was like, okay, I need to start, like, filling my stomach up with stuff. Because I need to, you know, get some
move
water.
On.
And yeah. Move on from the drinking. And there were these, like, pinwheel-looking things. And so I thought that they were, like... cinnamon sugar pinwheel, like, cookies that I feel like I've seen before, you know? I feel like that's a thing.
Cinnamon sugar pinwheel cookies is what we think we're dealing
that's
with
what
here.
That was the initial thought. And so I ate one, and it wasn't cinnamon sugar. It was savory, which I'm a savory girl all the time. So I was like, oh, okay, it kind of tastes like pesto. I guess those are, like, pesto pinwheels. And I just convinced myself that that's what they were. So I'm eating, chatting with Dan, and I was like, that was pretty good. So I have a second one. It's pretty good. I have a third one. I'm like halfway through the third one. And Dan goes, you know those are sausage, right? And I was like, do you think I know it's sausage? I'm just chowing down. I've been a vegetarian the entire time you've known me. And then everyone at the party was making fun of me, like, how did you not know it was sausage? I was like, as someone who does not regularly eat sausage and is drunk and hungry,
had no clue.
They taste herbaceous.
Yeah. if they're savory and well put together, I guess. I don't know. It was probably just chopped up and like...
It was really small. Yeah. Really fine.
It's hilarious.
I was like, and they're like, are you okay? I was like, oh, I'm not mad that I ate it. Like, whatever. I just think it's hilarious that I did not, like, that I ate three of them before I realized that they were sausage.
That
I would have kept going.
So I guess I got to read the ingredients? Ask what it is before you eat it? I don't know.
I was questioning what it was once it wasn't a cinnamon pinwheel, but I was like, oh, must be a pesto pinwheel. Next party with those people, I'm totally bringing pesto pinwheels to prove that it's a thing.
Good luck making those.
Whatever. It'll be great. I'm a horrible cook, but that's fine. But yeah. Oh, have you eaten anything weird in the last couple of weeks?
Have I eaten anything weird?
You can tell a story that's not food related.
Oh, I like food. Same. But no, I don't think... I like forgot to eat for a couple days this weekend. That happened.
McGee.
But I had dinner last night.
And I had breakfast this morning. And wait for this. Lunch in the afternoon. Did you forget how to tell a good story? Jesus.
Oh, I've never known how to tell a good story. You know this.
I know, but you usually do better than this. Then I had lunch for dinner. No, that's not what you said.
It's not even what I said.
No, I ruined it. It would have been such a good bit.
Than I am. Maybe we should just talk about animals.
Maybe we should.
I just don't have any creativity that I can give.
There's
nothing
in the tank. Well, this is gonna be a rough episode.
Well, maybe there's stuff in the tank.
We'll find it.
I gotta
rev up.
Rev it up. That's it. Thanks. Okay. So. You know how a couple episodes ago I was talking about how stupid I've gotten because I work from home and, like, don't talk to anybody? A, this is evidence of that. And B, one of our listeners has now mentioned this to me via Instagram, just being like, I work from home, too, and, like, I just feel myself getting dumber, too. Like, I get you. I feel you, and you are seen.
I have, like, my catch-up call in the beginning of the week with my boss, and I'm just like, I just need to talk. I'm like, I told her the sushi story, and I was like, no one's heard it yet. Someone needs to hear it. She's like, I'll gladly hear it.
Oh, man. Yeah, check on us more, friends.
Please. But I do have a clue for you.
Let's hear it.
Are you ready
to rumble?
When you said that thing about... tank, I should have told the story about how I thought my car battery died, but I just ran out of gas.
That was really funny. Were we waiting for you to come over?
You're waiting because I was dropping, you were going to watch Ollie because I had a book club thing to go to.
That's right.
But I was 2.5 hours late
for.
Oh my God. First I thought my car battery died, and the guy came and was like looking at it and was like, that's weird. And I was like, you know, I didn't really have any gas when I got home last night. He's like, so this is a gas call. We could have someone else come and bring you gas. I was like, great. So, fill your gas tanks, friend. That's it. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go now.
We're in a crazy, goofy mood. Okay, here's my clue.
I'm ready.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is a confused randy reptile or an oversexed amphibian?
A confused randy reptile or an oversexed amphibian?
Mm-hmm.
So it is an amphibian.
No, technically they could be switched. They probably should be switched. Okay, a randy reptile or a confused oversexed amphibian? Well, no. That's all you're getting. Don't think too much about it.
So it must be in the name that it, like, it's the big nosed big.
No, keep going.
The big penis something, right?
Listen, biologists are wild. They're not that wild. The big penis frog. That'd be something you would pick.
That would be something that, hey, what's that mean? What,
The answer's not up here.
I don't know why I'm looking at that. Just staring up.
It's not up in the distance.
A randy reptile, the horny toad.
Yes!
Horny toad lizard? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We got there.
I knew you'd get there. Just get on my
These guys are fun. Weren't we talking about them on our group chat?
Were we? Maybe we were. That's not why I was inspired.
Okay, great.
I don't remember why I was inspired.
I'm so ready for these guys. They are so cool.
They're insane and just kind of funny. Not gonna lie. But so yes, we were talking about the horned lizard or the horny toad. Horned lizard, horny toads, horned toads, all kinds of names. But the most accurate would be a horned lizard because they are in fact a reptile. They are not an amphibian.
They're not a toad.
But they are a lizard. And their name refers to the little baby horns on their head. Mm-hmm. Actually, they have modified scales kind of all over their body. But they do have true horns with a bony core on their head. So they are actual horns. However, they are not toads. Mm-hmm. The reason that they're often referred to as toads is probably just because of their body shape. They're kind of flattened and rounded with blunt snouts that give them kind of that like toad-like appearance.
Yeah, okay.
But no, they are in fact lizards that are just funnily shaped. There are actually 21 species of horned lizards, and 15 of them are native to the U.S. The largest bodied and most widely distributed and probably most known of the American species is the Texas horned lizard.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't say the name of the genus. Phrynosoma.
Thank you. That was going to bug me all night if you didn't
remember
to do that.
I could tell you were itching for it.
I was scooting around in my seat.
Mm-hmm. She's scooting, that's for sure. I don't know. Average size, they weigh between 25 and 90 grams. Don't ask me what that is in pounds or ounces.
Little.
And then the one website said that their height was 3.75 inches, but it also said that their length was 3.75 inches, so they're fairly round. They're small little guys. And I believe that is also for the Texas horned lizard. So they just get smaller from there. They are adapted for arid and semi-arid areas, so they like it dry, with sparse plant coverage and loose sand or soil, because they'll hibernate or nest within the soil, so they need to be able to dig right in there.
Okay.
Their diet consists primarily of harvester ants.
Okay, wow. So I should get them over to my apartment right now.
There you go.
I just moved.
And you have an ant problem.
I have an actual ant problem, not an ant situation. I don't have just one, Ashley.
I know, but the way you said it.
I know, I said it real snobby. But
I have an actual ant problem. Weird brag.
So yesterday I went out into my driveway. I have a driveway, guys.
It's very exciting.
Like, I looked down the driveway, and it looked like there was just a pile of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And as I approached, it was just thousands of ants.
No.
Thousands of them. And I was like, oh, God, guys, like, I can't have you here. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, I can't have you here.
Like, you're crawling into the house in the tens of thousands, and your larvae are everywhere.
No.
It's really not great.
So your exterminator guy didn't do a good job?
My exterminator guy did not finish the job because it was apparently gonna rain that day.
Oh.
And he was like, well, have me over again if you need. And it was creepy like that too.
Ew.
So I told my landlord today, I was like, can we get another Orkin guy out here?
That wasn't a rat. That was just neighbors moving furniture. Sorry, I'm sensitive. These guys could come over and eat if they're harvester ants.
That would be great.
They don't really have a hunting technique, per se. They just kind of find a group of ants and, like, hang out and then lap them up.
Great.
So watching another Nat Geo video, I was like, yeah, they're pretty lazy. They just have them, they just, when they crawl by, they just, but they'll also eat grasshoppers, beetles, and spiders.
Cool.
I know I talked a little about what they look like, but I think it's also important to note that they are, like, different shades of ground. So like browns, red and yellow.
Great.
They blend in with the ground. They have great camouflage to avoid predators, and they tend to be relatively motionless. So this camouflage stillness is their first line of defense.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't work. Their second line of defense, which I think might be actually my favorite, is that they'll just run and stop in short bursts to confuse a predator's visual acuity.
That's great.
Just run and
just confuse the shit out of a predator.
Right? Just doo, 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 doo. I like it. So that's pretty funny. Their third line of defense is to puff up their body to seem larger. They'll puff up to twice their normal size.
What? Why isn't that your first line of defense?
Well, because it's probably easier just to be motionless.
Okay, second line. Then you don't have to move.
I guess it's more energy draining
it must
to puff
be, to
up.
Be like...
but so they look like a big spiky balloon, which is difficult to swallow, so
right.
Predators aren't going to go for
less
it.
Less appetizing.
And then most famously, their fourth line of defense is to squirt blood from their eyes.
Oh, no.
They can squirt blood from their eyes. One source said up to 5 feet, another said up to 3 feet. Either way, it's impressive and disgusting.
It's really too far to be squirting
it is.
Blood.
While I was writing this, I was like, similar to Gleeking, but not, I cannot do this. it's also called ocular autohemorrhaging.
Ah.
Right? They just like casually put that in. I was like, you're not going to put that up front and center? Ocular autohemorrhaging?
This is also called. I wonder if anything else does that.
There are a couple other reptile species apparently that do, but I don't know outside of reptiles who squirting blood from their eyes. So they do this by restricting the blood flow leaving the head, thereby increasing blood pressure and rupturing tiny blood vessels around their eyelids.
Wow.
So they're actually busting. Yeah.
That sounds so uncomfortable.
That's why it's the fourth line of defense.
Why is it any line of defense?
I really wanted to find, I didn't have enough time. I really wanted to find like, how do they heal okay? Like,
yeah, like
do they just
okay
have like
afterwards?
Scabby eyes? Like, oh, it just sounds like a bad time.
It sounds really uncomfortable and desperate. Like, mm-hmm. At what point are you just like, fine, just eat me?
Right? Like, come on. My favorite is that the Nat Geo video I watched described it as their own version of pepper spray. And I was like, what pepper spray are you using? It's but just pepper, blood.
Yeah, pepper spray hurts your eyes. This is like self-inflicted
yeah.
pain of pepper spray.
But so it's meant to confuse predators, which
or just
I think
gross them out.
Rightly does. But also apparently it's noxious to canids. So it does in fact taste bad, but not to everything. Just like canids. I think also maybe felids as well, but not birds of prey.
Which is interesting.
They're just like, what the fuck? So kind of gross and...
Definitely gross.
But kind of cool. Anyway, so they're threats.
Okay. I was like, is that it? Is that?
I mean, that's most of it, but we'll talk about their threats as well. Their population is in decline for a number of factors, including fragmentation and loss of habitat from mm-hmm. real estate development and road construction. I don't know why I said road like that.
What kind of, yeah. Okay.
Planting of non-native grasses, conversion of land to pasture land and agricultural uses, pesticides. But one of the big things is the introduction? The introduction of fire ants as an invasive species, I guess. But people really hate fire ants.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Mm-hmm. And so the fire ants compete against species that horned lizards normally consume, the harvester ants.
Yeah.
And they also give ants a bad reputation, which is, like, fair. But then humans kill all the ants, and they end up killing the main source of food for these horned lizards.
Wow. So did you learn anything about, like, why fire ants have been introduced?
I don't think it was on purpose.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. Fair.
I think it was an accidental introduction. Also, the Texas horned lizard, so the one that's fairly well known, has disappeared from almost half of its geographic range. Oh. A big part of this was because in the mid-20th century, they were super popular in the pet trade, but they
really?
All were like died. Like, no one could take care of them as pets because they didn't realize like their dietary needs of these ants, specific species of ant. So, yeah, they kind of got screwed in that situation. Mm-hmm. And then my last final fact, which feels very reminiscent of a final fact you would give, is that the genus of horned lizards is the official state reptile of Wyoming.
Beautiful.
They're not in any coins, but they are a state reptile.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Those are our horny toads, incorrect, but horned lizards, way more correct.
Way more correct. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Well, yeah, I think we were just recently talking about them on some group chat. So why did you pick them if not that reason?
I just like them. I also, the there's this artist that I really like, the I Got You, the poster
yeah.
of like incorrectly named species.
Yeah.
And I think Horny Toad is one of them.
I think he's one of them. So and then there's like Electric Eel,
yeah.
Mountain Goat, Mantis Shrimp.
Yeah.
All of them.
All the incorrectly named species, which are my favorite.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Cool.
And that was a good hint. I wish I would have gotten it quicker.
But you did get it.
Thank God. I would have hated myself.
Don't do that.
Even more.
Maggie!
I hear that in my dreams, the way you yell at me.
Maggie! Good. Should haunt you.
All right, let's see what hint Adam suggested for this animal.
She had an hour and a half extra to think about this.
To think about my hint. I know, I never have hints. I never have research. So, when you're right, you're right. Okay, so it's, we're just going to have to go with this. And its Latin name or its real name is derived from gara, which means mud pot. That's not a hint.
That's just an additional fact later on.
I told him it wasn't helpful. His,
thank you, Adam, for trying, because it's more than Maggie came up with. It's a mud pot.
Yeah, imagine, so you just did a
mud pot?
You just did a reptile.
Is this a reptile?
We are in the reptile family.
A mud pot reptile?
Yes. It's got a mud pot on its nose. It's got a really long nose.
Is it Gariel?
Yeah.
I only got that from the Latin name, not from mud pot. Mud pot was not helpful.
Well, so Gara is the mm-hmm. Indian name, which is where this animal gets its name.
Nice.
Whatever. Anyway, so woo! If you are not familiar.
You guessed this for one of my clues.
Right.
A couple episodes
That's
ago.
Why I am doing it.
That's why I knew
so
what it was.
So the Gariel or Gariel is, its Latin name is Gavialis gangeticus.
Ooh.
Gang. Does
it live in the Ganges?
Ganges, yep, exactly. So it is
I'm just going to tell your animal for you.
Please, why not? It is the long-snooted crocodilian of South Asia.
The longest of snoots.
They do have the longest. They're the second largest of the crocodile and creatures. What? Why are you looking at me like
no,
that?
No, I heard your dog sniff. Sorry.
Bless you.
He was snooting.
So, despite their appearance looking like a crocodile, they're actually quite gentle. And they're very, like, I mean, gentle amongst each other yeah. and their own kind.
Like, don't go up and hug it.
No, I wouldn't recommend approaching. So, as I said, they're native to South Asian rivers. They used to be found in Bhutan, India, Nepal, Bangladesh, Myanmar, and Pakistan. But today they're only in Nepal and India.
Damn it.
Pretty fucking sad. They existed during the time of dinosaurs,
yes.
which is really freaking cool, and they were on almost every continent.
Damn.
So this is a very, very old animal, which I feel like we've seen fossils of similar type things, or I don't know, any like Land Before Time type movies. I feel like there's something looking like them yeah. in there with that long snoot.
They usually don't have speaking roles, though.
No, they're usually a villain.
Right? They're under the water. They come up and like, they're never the cute ones.
Never. The oldest known depiction of them was in the Indus Valley, dating back 4,000 years.
Damn.
So that's again, cool. Like we know they've been around, but this is very cool because obviously humans were taking notice of them.
Taking notes, quite literally.
Taking nose.
No, nah, we're going to cut that right out. That wasn't good.
I told you the
creative time was empty. It was great. No, it was great.
Whatever. So they can get to be up to 16 to 20 feet long or 6.5 meters.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds big.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought of them as small.
I told you. They're the second largest crocodilian.
I didn't believe you.
They are also... Why not? I did do my research for this. They are pescatarian, like me.
Aww.
And they use their 110 teeth to catch fish. They have the most teeth out of any of the crocodilians Damn. As well.
What do their teeth look like?
Sharp.
Oh. I wasn't sure if they were like conical or spade-like.
No, they look like a tooth. They look like a sharp tooth.
Okay, don't say human teeth.
No,
because that would be weird.
They look like just sharp jaggedy teeth. Like, if a kid was to draw a shark or an alligator's teeth.
Just like a V.
Yep.
Did I ever tell you, I told my boss this today as well, that a guy on a dating app once told me that he liked my vampire teeth because I have very pointy canines.
Wow, he was must have been kinky.
And I was like, I don't know what to do with this information.
You do nothing and you block him.
My boss goes, no, I'm never going to be able to look you the same.
Oh,
why did you tell her?
Wow, you have an interesting relationship with your boss.
I just like to tell her things.
That's great. I pray to God my boss doesn't know this podcast exists.
I don't think she's ever listened to this.
I know, but, like, she knows it exists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I think the most familiar with my boss I've ever been is, like, what book did you read this month? That's it.
Whatever.
All right, so.
I'm a Gariel.
An amphibious reptile. They like the water most out of all crocodilians.
Ooh.
They only leave the water to lay eggs and occasionally bask.
Hmm.
With all of that being said, they look ridiculous when they're on land because they just suck at walking.
No!
Yeah, buddies. So they just, like, they lay on their belly and they just kind of use their legs to, like, propel them forward, kind of like how penguins look when they're on their bellies.
Now, do you think that they like the water? I'm going to think of how to phrase this. Nah, it's not going to be a good joke. We can keep going.
Great. I'm glad you failed also. they are...
I'll cut mine out. I'll leave yours in.
And then I will tell you to remove it. So they are sexually dimorphic, with males being distinguished by this long, with this large protuberance at the end of their nose.
Their little mud pot?
It is their mud pot. This is where they get their name, because it, as I mentioned earlier, it comes from the Indian gara. It's an earthen pot, I guess. I don't know. The purpose of this big honker in males is to amplify the hisses it makes when calling out to others, usually to either attract a mate or ward off other dudes.
Dudes.
It can be heard up to a kilometer away.
Shit.
Yeah. It's a hiss slash, like, not a huff or a gurgle.
Well,
yeah,
like, it's bad. That's static. That's TV static.
The audio is going to love that.
I know.
But it is more, it's not hissy hiss like that. It's not like.
It's more guttural.
Mm-hmm, that's the word I was going for. So it's like.
creepy.
You know.
I think I should just do a supercut of us making animal noises.
There was one episode where, like, we did all of the noises of the giant river otter, I think. Like, chirp, squawk, huff,
we,
bark.
You. This was my time to shine.
That's the noise they make. Okay.
And it is amplified.
Yeah, up to a kilometer away. Can you imagine
that's
if
far.
You could be heard a kilometer away? I feel like I could
That
be...
was me when we discovered the rat. Probably hear me a kilometer away.
I'm surprised nobody checked on us.
Nah.
Anyway.
My neighbors already hate me, it's fine.
Mama gharials lay the biggest eggs out of any of the crocodilians. Mm. They are 3 times the size of a chicken egg. That's all I got to say about that.
That's big.
It's a big egg. And she lays a whole clutch of them, like, not just a few. She will bury the eggs to keep them warm, and then she'll dig them out when she hears them chirping as they hatch.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where they get very protective and parental. Like, it's just an interesting dynamic. Clutch members will stick together, but up to 120 babies will hang out together, and they're usually looked after all together by one or more adults. So, like, one of these adults will essentially be the nanny to a whole bunch of them.
Oh!
So it's like daycare. It's or going to elementary school or something.
Fascinating.
Like you hang out in your class or your clutch of eggs, and then there's a whole bunch of you.
Then everyone gets together at recess.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
There's somebody
yeah.
who's like, okay, I guess I'll watch them.
So the adults
That's
will...
That's so cool.
The adults, like, fiercely defend them, and this is where... like, their reputation of being really good parents comes in because they, like, they're defending all 120 up to, right, of these babies up to 9 weeks, but then the dads will continue to watch them for up to 9 months.
Damn.
Which is really interesting.
I feel like reptiles, especially, like crocodiles and shit, like, always surprise me with, like, how, like, parental they are.
Right. Like, I mean, a lot of these, like, what is it? is it saltwater crocodiles that, like, the babies hang out in mom's mouth?
I think it's American alligators.
Is it alligators?
But maybe crocodiles, too.
Yeah, it is very unexpected of a reptile, yeah. Right? Because usually it's like, I'm going to lay my egg and move on with my life.
I'm out of here.
But no, bye, this bitches. Is great. This is really interesting, too, which you are probably familiar with. Like a lot of reptiles, the sex of the young is determined by the temperature of the egg as it's being, as it's growing. Now, with gharials, an egg that is less than 31 degrees Celsius or...
Just above freezing.
Just below freezing. That's not true.
Not true.
Just below... Look how I'm doing the symbol for less than...
You're killing it.
Less than 31 degrees Celsius or above 33 degrees Celsius, the eggs will be female. But those right around 32 degrees Celsius will be males. So while most reptiles are like turtles commonly, they follow the straightforward like male-female pattern. So anything below 32 is male. Anything above 32 is female.
These guys are very specific.
These are very specific. So it's female, male, female.
So the males are pretty picky.
Yeah, well...
Divas.
I'm not surprised. We were just talking about diva immature men earlier. So
part of the podcast you didn't
that was the off-air part of the podcast. Temperature dependent sex is a problem because of climate change, as we probably could guess.
Sorry, that woke Ollie up.
Ollie was like, climate change again.
He's like, you want to hear about climate change?
Don't get me started. Also threats to these animals, rivers are drying up, so their habitat is diminishing. That also is because of climate change. Human development in dam installation is also drying up rivers. So needless to say, these guys are critically endangered.
Great.
There's less than 200 breeding. There's fewer than 200.
Try again. From the top.
As I said, these guys are critically.
Is this going to be herbivorous again?
Oh my God, it was so hard to say that. I don't think I could say it now. There are fewer than 200 breeding adults left in Nepal. We're not really sure about India. But some positive conservation work in 2022.
2022, my favorite year.
A group of researchers led by Phoebe Griffith. I'm so sorry, everyone. She created the first global trait database for all existing or extant crocodilians and then assigned all of their functional traits to their respective roles in the surrounding ecosystem. Like, this just didn't exist before for crocodilians. And this is basically the science behind conservation. Like, what do we have to lose if this animal disappears? And the report authors found, of course, that 15 to 28% of all crocodilians are threatened with extinction. But the gharial was one of the... reasons or purposes driving this whole research study. So there is now newfound attention to this species to try to conserve it and bring it back from the brink. There are also conservation efforts at work in Nepal to protect their habitat.
Good, good.
So work is being done. It's not like they're an obscure, totally obscure species that isn't getting enough attention, like a lot of animals out there. So fingers crossed we're going to have the gharials for many millennia to come, especially because they've lived since the fucking dinosaurs and were the reason.
Could you imagine being the reason that you kill off a
fucking
dinosaur?
Don't you feel like a douchebag?
It's the only way to describe it. Humans are douchebags.
Really, truly.
You know, I mean, we've always known it.
So unlike these researchers that I just talked about, we're not animal experts.
Look at that segue. Maggie is a professional.
Sometimes I am.
Sometimes.
A lot of times I'm not. I just want other people to get excited and enthused about animals like we are.
As I yawn.
The most enthused. Excited. So yeah, I think that you guys should all... I didn't know what I was saying. I had to go find the ending.
You're doing so good.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, what? Don't give me that look. If you guys like what you're listening to, please subscribe. Maybe leave us a review if you want to. Maybe after this episode,
if it's bad, don't
leave us a review, please. You can also find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod, on YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod, and you can also visit our website, thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it.
I think we need another drink.